shop the best Black Friday weekend deals up to 70% off only at Tanger Outlets. Save big at Crocs, Old Navy Outlet, American Eagle Outfitters, Kay Jewelers, and hundreds more. Find something for everyone on your list during our biggest sale of the year. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Stores open at 6 a.m. Black Friday. Get your savings at Tanger.com. Big time deals on big name brands.
If you're a maintenance supervisor for a commercial property, you've had to deal with everything from leaky faucets to flickering light bulbs. But nothing's worse than that ancient boiler that's lived in the building since the day it was built, 50 years ago. It's enough to make anyone lose their cool. That's where Grainger comes in. With industrial-grade products and dependable fast delivery, Grainger can help with any challenge, from worn-out components to everyday necessities. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello, welcome everyone. It is FMC. I'm Jeremy. That is SP3. No intro song anymore. At least not this week. Maybe next week we'll have a new song, something like that. But no intro song for the time being. We're back to the original format of just going straight into everything. Going right to the action. It is Tuesday, November 19th. SP3, how you doing, buddy?
I am doing well. It's a Tuesday, my favorite day of the week to talk about some basketball. I'm ready to talk about the NBA, which, despite the ratings, is actually pretty good. It's actually pretty good so far this year. I feel like I'm talking about AEW right now, but this is a wrestling channel, but this is the show that doesn't talk about wrestling, but very much like AEW. NBA ratings are down, but still pretty good. Still pretty good. I like what's going on, especially being a Lakers fan right now. And Golden State Warriors have surprised a lot of people. We got an undefeated team setting, making history over in Cleveland. So we got a lot to discuss.
Do people talk about like the NBA ratings?
Not like that, but I do like when I go on my YouTube feed, it's usually stuff between wrestling and NBA, and all the NBA videos I see about a couple, like one out of every five, it's about the ratings being down.
I can't, much like wrestling, I can't pretend to care about the actual ratings. Like wrestling, I'm a little bit more involved and like I'll entertain it just because there's some banter purposes for entertaining it. But also like wrestling, the sport ain't dying. You know, AEW's not a big deal. WWE signed big deals. These companies aren't going anywhere. The NBA is not going anywhere. It's going to still be on 15 different platforms. And it's not going to stop existing because the ratings might be down. So I'm sorry if other fans aren't going to enjoy it. I've enjoyed the product so far this year. I guess I've seen people be like mad about like threes, everything. I'm like, what? This is how it's always been. Where for the past like 5 years, probably even more than that. Since like the Warriors dynasty started. That's what it's been. Just teams are taking more and more threes. That was the whole Rockets philosophy. The Morey ball. Either get in the restricted area or take a three. That's it. So I can't pretend to entertain the ratings talk when basketball is not going anywhere. Seems like a waste of time. Let's focus on like the cool stuff that's happening in the league, because there is some good stuff happening, including an undefeated team. SP3 still got the Cleveland Cavaliers undefeated. Big game tonight against the Boston Celtics. So this feels like, I know it's an NBA Cup game as well. And this feels like a heavyweight showdown between the undefeated Cleveland Cavaliers and the reigning defending NBA champion, Boston Celtics. I think Mitchell missed last game. I think Mobley's been out. I'm not sure what the injury report is or will look like come game time. This feels like the first loss for the Cavs tonight.
Yeah, this feels like the place, because it's at Boston, right? Am I correct?
Yeah, it's at Boston. Yeah.
Yeah. So this seems like the place that they can end the streak, or it seems like the place where they can really kind of cement themselves as like an early contender, you could call them right now, that they have emerged from the East and gotten a big win over the reigning champions at home in Boston. They're 16-0. They're one over. They're now second all time greatest, one of the greatest starts in NBA history. So, like, yeah, this would be a big statement win for Cleveland, or this is the end of the streak.
Feels like this is going to be a Boston victory tonight, especially if Cleveland doesn't have like Mitchell and Mobley. If Mitchell's back, they got a much better shot, obviously. If they're missing both of them, that's going to be tough sledding for them. But look, starting the season 15-0, that's impressive. It's the best start since the Warriors. The Warriors, the infamous 73-game win season. Like, it's the best start since then. 15-0 is tough to do. Even if, like, you can say their competition level, the East is trash.
Like, oh, East, yeah, it's really bad. It's really bad. That's probably two out of every five videos I see talking about the NBA. Is like, how bad is the Eastern Conference? Like, they say it's like four or five teams that are contenders, but everybody else is like below expectations or just mediocre.
It's four teams above 500, which is better than last week. Last week there were only two teams above 500, because the Pacers last week were third and they were a 500 team. Now they're eighth and they're two games below 500. So the Cavs are obviously well above 500. The Celtics are well above 500. And then the Magic are 9-6. Credit to them after the Bancaro injury. They've really turned things around and they're undefeated at home as well. If they can just get some road wins, and they'll be in business. But they've won six straight. I guess their last loss was to OKC in that case, because I know that was a loss for them. And then the Knicks, they've won three straight. They're 8-6. So they're starting to finally figure things out a little bit. Everybody else below 500 in the East. And some teams, I mean, the Philadelphia 76ers are at the bottom of this Eastern Conference right now. I still don't think they're the worst team. The Wizards are awful. But the Sixers, for a team that was supposed to be really good, they made the big Paul George signing. 2-11. I understand injuries. I understand Embiid hasn't played only but like two games. Paul George has been in and out. Maxey's been in and out. At some point, you got to start winning games, though. And they're not doing that. And you're going to have to make up a lot of ground going into it. The good thing is, like, you only got to make up that ground in the East. So it's feasible to do so. They're three games out of a play-in spot. If they get into the play-in with everybody healthy, much like they did last year, I would not want to face them in a play-in. But as we've talked about before on the show, chemistry matters, and getting gelling, like getting those pieces together and getting ample playing time, all that stuff matters. And the less games you have together as a unit, as a unit that hasn't played together either. This isn't a thing of, oh, well, last season they put in a lot of work together. Now this season they might be in and out of the lineup. Paul George, Joel Embiid, and Tyrese Maxey have a combined zero games together. That stuff just doesn't come overnight.
They just, yeah, you have to get some playing time, especially early, because it's gonna help you the more games that you have together out there. But they are just not healthy right now, and their hole is getting deeper and deeper and deeper. And it, like, for what we were saying about the Bucks a week ago or 2 weeks ago, we gotta kind of say to the Sixers, like, okay, you can always keep saying, oh, you know, wait till we get all three of these guys on the court. But when is that gonna happen? Because it doesn't seem like it's going to happen anytime soon, and your hole is just getting deeper and deeper in what is, yes, a mediocre Eastern Conference right now. So they still have a chance, but they're just making their climb up a little bit harder.
And look, Jared McCain's coming alive, and I think that's a good thing, but it also makes it more difficult when they get everybody healthy of, okay, well, Jared McCain is out here taking 20 shots a game, which you need right now. But when Paul George is back, when Tyrese Maxey is back, when Joel Embiid is back, how does he fit into the lineup? somebody's got to sacrifice shots. Joel Embiid ain't exactly a guy who is going to sacrifice shots. He wants to get all of his touches. He wants to, you know, flop around and get to the free throw line. Paul George, he seems like a low maintenance kind of guy until he actually kind of starts talking and you see the way he plays. And it's like, yeah, Paul George has got to have his shots. Maxey is an all NBA type player who has really emerged over the couple of years. Is he going to sacrifice shots? So the rookie basically is the guy who is going to have to sacrifice shots, but he's been their best player throughout this entire season. Now they haven't had much of a choice because of all the injuries, but it's like, oh, do we really want to have him sacrificing too much? And again, when these guys aren't used to that, when they have not played together, it's a lot easier to swing than a veteran team who might be able to, okay, yeah, I understand I got to give up here. I got to do something more over here. With a team that hasn't played a lot together and a team that hasn't won anything either, guys who haven't won anything, it's a lot more difficult. We saw this in, this is an extreme example. I completely recognize that. But we saw this in Miami with the Heatles. Dwayne Wade had to realize, oh, I got to sacrifice so LeBron can do this. Chris Bosh had to realize, I got to sacrifice so Wade and LeBron can do this. Those are more veteran guys. Dwayne Wade had actually won something. LeBron had been to the finals before. Chris Bosh had, you know, been successful on his own. But those guys all understood, hey, we got to give in some areas so other people, so this guy can flourish in this area. These guys don't have any of that. They ain't been out of the second round. Paul George has been out of the second round once. Like that's it. And that was a decade ago. So it's not like he, yeah. I guess no. The Clippers made the Western Conference.
Yeah, yeah. Sorry. And he was on his own. That's like his benchmark now. Yeah. More than even the Pacers run.
Right. So, but still, otherwise, they ain't been there. Oh, I don't know how that's gonna work when everybody's back healthy, if everybody gets back to health.
Yeah, it's difficult to see what's going to happen. I am depending on like the coaching and really kind of reworking the offense when they get all three of these guys out there, because you're going to really have to go to what is the kind of like the trend going on with all the like the championship contending teams, and it's running the offense through Joel Embiid through the high post. I think that, like, you know, you've seen what this has done for my Los Angeles Lakers. It's made Anthony Davis into the top five MVP I predicted him to be all along. And I think that Joel Embiid, it'll show different facets of him, and he'll be able to kind of give it off to Paul George, and he'll get more free looks. And then Tyrese Maxey, it'll kind of develop, you know, his off the ball game a little bit more, because he's more predominantly having the ball in his hand and, you know, giving it off in the post to Joel Embiid, or running pick and roll with Joel Embiid. So maybe doing some more off the ball stuff will help out the offense as well. So I'm hoping that when these three guys get out there, that they come to fruition, because back in the offseason when this move was made, I was very optimistic about it. But
you had them over the Knicks even before the Towns trade.
Yeah, I did. I did. Before the Towns trade, I was like, I still have Philly. I still have Philly. But after the Towns trade, I had to give it to the Knicks. But before then, I thought that Paul George was kind of a missing link. They needed someone who can play defense on kind of the perimeter players, the prime perimeter players out there in the Eastern Conference. When you're going up against the Boston Celtics and guys like that, you got to have someone like a Paul George. So I thought that was a good look for them. But if these guys are not going to be healthy and be out there, like, it's just like, like I said, this hole is getting deeper and deeper. It's the Eastern Conference, to be fair to them, so there's always a chance. But 2-11 is not the best look for 13 games in. It's early, but it's a little far into the season where I'm just like looking at y'all like, okay, when you're on the clock now, when are you going to get all three of these guys out there? When are you going to get two of these guys out there for a stretch of like 10 games? Can you do that for us?
10 games, that's asking
a lot. I know.
Yeah, that's asking. I mean, look, they had Paul George and Joel Embiid playing last night against Miami, and they still got beat. They got beat pretty badly, too. They got beat by double digits. Joel Embiid is, he's clearly still not healthy. And at this point, it feels fair to wonder what he actually looks like healthy. Like, is there a healthy version of Joel Embiid? I just don't know. Like, he took the fourth most shots on the team last night. McCain had 16 shots. George had 13 shots. Caleb Martin had 12 shots, I guess because it was his Miami homecoming. And then Embiid had 11 shots. He didn't get to the free throw line at all. That's been his whole offense this season, is the free throw line, because he's not shot well from the field. But I don't know if Joel Embiid only getting 11 shots is. I know he's playing Bam, so Bam's one of the, you know, better defenders in the league. But they're not going to – it doesn't feel like they're going to win a whole lot with Embiid only getting 11 shots. It wasn't good. I mean, 11 points on 11 shots. The team wasn't good. But they had both their guys last night, and they still got beat pretty handedly by Miami.
It's looking rough. It's looking rough out here for the Sixers, because Miami's not even that good of a team. They have good players. You have your Jimmy Butlers, you have your Bam Adebayos, but they haven't had the best start to the season. And like we said, they're kind of in that mediocre menage that is the below 500 teams in the Eastern Conference, which is more than the above 500 teams in the Eastern Conference. So I'm hoping that they can turn their season around, because, like I said, they have two of the best players in the Eastern Conference in Jimmy Butler and Bam Adebayo. But Sixers, like I said, I think that for now we have to say, okay, we'll see what happens when we get all three of these guys out there on the court. But yeah, we are looking at y'all a little bit closer now, because it's looking bad.
Anything else in the East? My Pistons lost last night to the Bulls. That was a bad loss. You got to beat the Bulls. Bulls aren't good.
You do.
Yeah. East just isn't even fun to watch.
Even the teams that are above 500, because one of six videos that I see is about the Knicks not being up to snuff yet. And I'm just like, y'all need to be patient. Y'all Knicks fans are ridiculous.
Like, they're fun to watch. Like, these teams are fun to watch and like, oh, this is allegedly basketball and they're kind of disorganized, but like entertaining games. I don't mean disorganized in a derogatory way, non-derogatory, disorganized parentheses, non-derogatory parentheses. But like they're entertaining and like, oh, okay. When y'all play a real team, this is going to completely change. But hey, between these two, Charlotte and who did Milwaukee play last night? They played Houston, so they actually played an Eastern Conference team. Yeah. But like Milwaukee plays Milwaukee and Charlotte is a game I was thinking of. Two below 500 teams that went down to the wire. And it's like neither of these teams are all that great, but it's entertaining and fun. Like 115, 114. And
why do so many dogs die before their time? Actress and dog activist Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. Superfood Complete by Badlands Ranch is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including premium protein-packed beef, nutrient-dense organ meat, heart-healthy salmon, gut-healthy vegetables, and several superfoods vital to your dog's health. And because high heat cooking can add unhealthy things to your dog's food, Superfood Complete uses air drying, so it gets cooked low and slow. This means it has the convenience of kibble, but the health benefits of whole foods. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible benefits, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 right now to get up to 50% off your order and a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's badlandsranch.com/save50 today. All dogs are unique. Your dog's results can and will vary.
Shop the best Black Friday weekend deals up to 70% off only at Tanger Outlets. Save big at Nike Factory Store.
Coach, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and hundreds more. Find something for everyone on your list during our biggest sale of the year. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Stores open at 6 a.m. Black Friday. Get your savings at Tanger.com.
Ew. LaMelo was going off. Giannis played well, but Giannis only had like 20 points. Like, it was actually kind of a lower tier performance from him.
But he had a triple double.
Yeah, yeah. But he needed about 50 to just beat Charlotte. Torian Prince is out here with like 23 points as the top scorer for Milwaukee. It's like, yeah, that's the beauty of the Eastern Conference. Like, on any given night, Torian Prince is going to be the top scorer for a team. It's like, huh? In what world is Torian Prince? You were burying him a couple weeks ago. Here he is, the top scorer.
He deserved to be buried, but they lost, right? They lost.
They lost that game, yeah. But that's what I'm saying. Like, that's the beauty of, like, the Eastern Conference. It's like, yeah, Torian Prince, top scorer in the game. You look at, like, the Nets. I guess the Nets will always have, like, Cam Thomas. But Dennis Schroeder, if for some reason, still just, yeah, sure, Dennis Schroeder is going to go off. Like, you think of Cam Thomas, but Cameron Johnson is going to have the top scoring game for Brooklyn. You just got these guys that you would not expect to be the top scorer in a game, but it's the Eastern Conference. Like, yeah, sure. Why wouldn't this guy be the top scorer on this team? Nobody else is going to score.
True. And I love that the Nets have come back to life. They face some real teams and they've come back to life. They're in the Menage 5-9. Like to see where you're at, guys.
They play hard still. Like,
yeah, they do. They play fun games.
Yeah. All these bad teams play fun games.
That's why I can't take the Knicks. That's why I said I can't take the Knicks that seriously, because two of their games were against the Nets. I'm just like, yeah. And then the other game was against the Wizards, the last one. So
you got this Hawks and Kings game. The Hawks and Kings, you would think, like, oh, Trae Young, De'Aaron Fox, they went off. Trae Young had 7 points. DeAndre Hunter had 24 points. DeAndre Hunter, off the bench, 24 points. De'Aaron Fox, he went off. De'Aaron Fox, at least, had 28. Keon Ellis, 33 points. It's like, what? In what world are DeAndre Hunter and Keon Ellis the top scorers in these games?
We're two of kind the best rules. Point guards. Two of the best point guards out there, too.
Like, it's I mean Trae
had one of his funny games where he can't shoot the ball well, but he has 19 assists.
Yeah. It's kind of hilarious. Like, these games between these mediocre teams. Just, like, throw a dart and figure out who the top scorer is. It's great.
But let's talk about that Western Conference, because praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Los Angeles Lakers on a 5-game winning streak, 9-4, third best record in the Western Conference. Man,
they've beaten nobody.
No, we've beaten nobody. The real test is the next couple of games. That's why.
Nah, no, Utah's next.
That's why there's no sermon this week. Despite the 5-game winning streak, there's no sermon this week because we ain't beat anyone outside of the Grizzlies. I like the Grizzlies.
That was a non-Ja game, right?
Yeah, it was the Grizzlies without Ja. They were the only team that was worth a damn that we beat, but they were the Grizzlies without Ja. But Magic, we got the Nuggets, we got the Suns next. So that's the stretch. That's the stretch that I'm referring to, where we're going to see where we're at. After the next 4 to 5 games, if we're at like 4-1 in those 5 games at the very least, we're in the good spot.
That's fair. Yeah, they play Utah tonight. They'll beat Utah. Utah's not any good. Look, the Lakers look like they looked at the start of the season when they started off hot. And then they lost a handful of games, and now they're hot again. But yeah, they haven't beaten anybody. Toronto barely counts. Memphis without Ja barely counts. San Antonio barely counts. New Orleans, the current state of them, they barely count. Philadelphia, they don't count. Yeah, none of these wins are all that good.
Hey, we look good though.
Do we look good? And look, that's what I said about OKC after the first week of the season. It's like you can only play the teams in front of you, and it's how do you look in these games? And they've looked relatively good. Like the New Orleans games came down to the wire. LeBron had to hit the big three.
Yeah.
The San Antonio game came down to the wire.
Silencer.
Yes.
With his son on the bench. First time.
They're detrimental to that kid right now.
What? You say like it's like child abuse.
It's not that. Let's not go that far. But he's in the G League, which is fine. That's honestly where he should be. But he's only playing home games because they don't want him to travel because it's not a charter flight. It's not a good look. Like, how can you defend that?
Oh, no. No, I can't defend that. That preferential treatment, I think is the term that looks like to me. And I don't want to accuse anybody of that. I don't have all the details in front of me. So all I will say is all I will tell is the truth and not the best look.
No, it's not a good look. And I don't think it doesn't help him because he's only playing home games. And so you're getting less time on the court when he needs reps. He needs time on the court. And then it doesn't help him to his teammates because they're like, what has this guy earned? You know, why is this guy? Oh, he can't be on the flight with us. He can't travel with us. Nobody comes off well in this. I just don't think it helps anybody. I think the teammates look at him like, yeah, oh, he's like this because of his dad. Like, cool. His dad, arguably the greatest player of all time. Good for him. He hasn't earned anything. He's the 55th overall pick. He's already getting a contract that's better than every other second round pick.
Yeah.
And now, oh, he's only going to play home games because he doesn't want to travel with us. Hey, you get on the court and that stuff, they start looking at you different. It's like, yeah, why am I going to pass you the ball? Like, you haven't put in any of the work. I assume he's working hard to practice and everything. But then he's going moving up and sometimes practicing with the NBA team. I just think they're doing a disservice to him, honestly. Like, I understand, okay, he's LeBron's kid, so LeBron wants to have those moments and everything. I would think LeBron would recognize that it's a disservice to him. But maybe he doesn't. Maybe he's just like, yeah, I got him paid. What more you want from me?
Well, I messaged the team at the Lakers, and what I got back is, you know, Bronny's been through a lot of health situations over the last year, and that is why that he's not going to be traveling with the team, and that's why he can only take chartered flights because of his health concerns. So I think that's understandable.
Is this legit?
No, but I just came up with it. That I'm the Laker team. I'm a part of the Laker team. So that is what I just came up with, and that's what I just remembered. Actually, to be fair, that's what I just remembered. That he did have the whole health concerns with his like freshman year, and that's why you know he was out for a while and had to come back later in the season. So
I'd actually like buy that. Like that's actually not the worst excuse I've ever heard. I should start using that.
Yeah, see, this is what I tell them. Basketball fans, basketball executives, watch FMC. I gotcha.
Yeah, I can actually kind of buy that. That's not bad. I mean, if that's the case, I don't think it is, but that at least makes some sense. But then if he's like on the road, you know, and with the team, with the NBA team, because he was at New Orleans, right?
Well, those are charter flights.
Oh, okay.
He's rolling with that. How about Death Rider Flight?
Okay, how about like you change the structure in the G League and they get chartered flights? Make it happen.
Why not? You see, he needs to, you know, fight for the rights of the D League.
Fellow boss, that's a super chat. Just East Coast, forget about it, cuh. I appreciate the Too Fast, Too Furious shout out there. When Paul Walker could only say cuh, that's all he could do. It's a great movie. Great movie.
Pretty good.
Anything else from, you know?
Well, we gotta talk about the top teams, the top teams, and of course we talked about it a little bit last week with their undefeated streak, but it's only gotten longer with the you know, we talked about the matchup, but just overall the Cleveland Cavaliers deserve more talking about because, you know, are you gonna bury
Jared Allen?
No, I'm giving love to Jared Allen. See, you always call me. I am repenting for my past sins. 21, 15. This man's doing the 20 and 10 that I was asking for. He's giving me what I want. So I can't.
He was already doing that. It was one game he didn't have a double double.
And I was ashamed of him for that. He should have no game. But no, this week he had nothing but double double. So I gotta give him love. Got to show love to Jared Allen, who's looking like he's not going to get the Make-A-Wish All-Star selection that he got in Cleveland. He's going to get an actual All-Star selection this year, so far this season. I think out of the guys on Cleveland who look like All-Stars right now, it's Jared Allen, Evan Mobley, and Donovan Mitchell.
Darius Garland.
I love Darius Garland, but it's the Eastern Conference. The Eastern Conference, despite how bad it is, it has a whole bunch of good to great point guards.
Who? Yeah. Who?
Well, I mean, most of them are not winning right now, so that you might have a point there. When I just thought about it, I was like Trae Young, Damian Lillard. I was like, oh no, losers.
I'll take Garland over Lillard right now. I'll take Garland over Lillard right now.
Jalen Brunson.
Fine, I will maybe slightly concede Jalen Brunson.
He's like slightly concede. Damn. You might have a point because I was gonna say Tyrese Halliburton, and then I was like, oh my.
Halliburton's not been good down this year.
Yeah. I was like, my whole argument would have broke down at Tyrese Halliburton.
Like, I like Tyrese Halliburton. He hasn't been all that great this year. He hasn't been better than Darius Garland, that's for certain.
You're right. I'll give it up. You're right. See, now I'm gonna have to repent to Darius Garland. See, you're always whenever I talk about the Cleveland Cavaliers, it seems like you're calling me out on something.
Yeah, because like I'm actually watching this team. I watch this team way, like they're probably my second most watched team besides OKC. Garland's been
fantastic. you get the games. It's on like regular cable for y'all, right?
Oh no, we don't have cable. Kidding me? All these streaming service. You know, I watch the Cavs games the same way I watch every other game, which is drugs. People who get the reference will get the reference. No, but I watch a lot of Cleveland because they're good. They're actually like they're entertaining to watch, and I like them. So that's why I've been watching a lot of Cleveland. And Darius Garland's been fantastic this year. Absolutely fantastic. I would go Brunson over him. And that's the only one I feel like sure about. Tyrese Halliburton hasn't been that good. I think you can make arguments for Cade's been really good. I think you can maybe make an argument for him. You can make an argument sort of for Trey, but Darius Garland's been way more efficient, and he's obviously done a lot more winning. Look, his teams are better than Atlanta and Detroit. There's no doubt about that. His teams are better, but he's also lifting this team. It's not like he's just, he's just kind of there on this team. Nah, he's playing exceptional right now with his passing and his overall scoring. He's shooting over 50% from the field, shooting 45% from three on nearly seven attempts per game. 45% on almost seven attempts. Like, he's playing outstanding right now. So if you want to say Cade and Trey just because, they're on worse teams and they're putting up like good numbers, like, fine. But Darius Garland's winning. I'll take the guy who's actually winning basketball games over those guys. Anybody else? LaMelo's playing well. Like, Lillard's got numbers. I'm not taking them over the way Darius Garland's been playing this year, though. I think they're getting four All-Stars.
Yeah.
The East sucks.
I mean, if they're going to go on like a run like this, I don't think they're going to be undefeated before All-Star break. But if they have like 10 or less losses, and they're still rolling like this and putting up these type of numbers, I think that you're probably right. We get all four of those guys as All-Stars this year.
Make the starting lineup the Cavs team. Eastern starting lineup is the Cavs. And then they play whoever the West gets.
No, we're not getting Isaac Okor.
Shit, just for fun. It'd be hilarious. See if like
the Cleveland Cavs versus the Eastern Conference.
Yeah. Maybe it'd be so much better.
So we got starting five. We're gonna make a starting five of the Eastern Conference minus the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Okay. All right. Well, look, let's just
Jalen Brunson.
Yeah, it's just Boston.
I was like Jalen Brunson and the Boston Celtics. That's what I would have probably said.
I didn't even know Brunson can come off the bench. Just give me Boston. That's a big game tonight, Boston and Cleveland. I'm excited for this game. That's gonna be a really good game.
Yeah, that's the big game of the week for sure. But over on the Western Conference, my Houston Rockets are looking good despite our loss to the Milwaukee Bucks. But it was a very close game. But they're just a fun team to watch because it's either gonna be a big blowout or it's gonna be a close game. I like them. That's why I made my prediction last week.
All right.
So they're 10-5. They're standing at the four spot, and then you put in the headline, of course, the Golden State Warriors.
I had Rob Wilkins draw that up before they lost to the Clippers. Actually, like, I was not suspecting them to lose to the Clippers last night. I was like, they'll be at the top of the West. They'll be 11-2, so this will be good. And then they lost, and now technically they're second in the West. So. Oops.
But they actually, besides the, the loss to the Clippers, which was, not the best loss, but it was a close game. They have beaten some good teams, at least with the Golden State Warriors. That's why I think that they've been kind of the most impressive throughout this past week, because they beat the likes of, the Mavericks, they beat y'all, the OKC Thunder. They lost it to Cleveland, but they lost to the Clippers here. So not the worst losses, because like we said last week, the Clippers are a lot better without Kawhi than we thought they would be, but we should have expected it because they have been playing without Kawhi all this time. I like what the Golden State Warriors is doing. I like what, having Steph Curry back in the lineup has helped them out so much, because he's the leader of the team. He's usually the main scorer, but even when he's not scoring, it's kind of like a team effort where they come together, like the win over the Memphis Grizzlies, where I think like the top scorer was Buddy Hield off the bench with 18 points. So, I like what the Warriors are doing so far at what was it? I think it's 10-3 now.
The Warriors defense has been the most impressive to me. Like, their offense is rolling, and their offense looks really good. I know, like, maybe numbers-wise, it seems like they give up a lot of points. Some of it is the games are just close, and so they're sort of back and forth. But I think their defense is being a little bit overlooked right now for how good it's actually been. Because the past few years, like, their defense has been terrible. And that's the reason why they've been losing so much. Like, everyone seems to really have bought in defensively. And Draymond looks re-energized defensively. Look, Klay wasn't the defender he used to be coming off the injury. And I think he was kind of a detriment to their defense at times. Now their defense looks more like it has when they were kind of peak Golden State. It's not on that level. But also the difference is the NBA is just in a much different spot than it was years ago when it was them and just a handful of other teams taking as many threes as they were taking. Now, like, everyone just takes three. So it's going to happen. Your defense isn't going to be quite as good. But their defense has been more impressive than their offense this year. And their offense has been good.
Yeah. Yep. I like what the Golden State Warriors are doing. They got the coaching. They got the leadership. They got the star. So, and they got the defense, like you said. The defense have really kind of come together with, you know, Draymond Green kind of always as the anchor of that team and what he brings kind of energy wise and his presence in the paint and all around the court, really, because he tries to guard whatever the best scorer is on the other team, he's trying to guard them, and he brings that energy every single time. So it's really came together, and I've been very, very impressed, because I think we were both down on the Warriors. We kind of had them in like a play-in spot at best, but they've really came through and impressed in the early half of the season.
Yeah, they look good. Are they true contenders? That's where I'm still. They look like a playoff team, obviously.
Yeah.
You know, do they make the conference finals? I don't know. The West is actually tough. The West is still very tough.
Yeah, this is not how the West is going to look in 2 weeks. It's not how it's going to look in a month. Like, a lot of this is going to go up and down. I know a lot of these teams are not going to be always as good as they've been lately. Looking at more as like, I'm accepting it. My Lakers, I'm a pessimist, kind of like Jeremy, but not on that extreme. But I know my Lakers are going to come back down to earth, and then we'll have our runs where we put it all together, and we'll kind of be up and down. I think so will the Houston Rockets because of how young they are. And obviously with like the Phoenix Suns, we've kind of seen that already. We've seen signs of that. And same with the Denver Nuggets. And I think that teams, like, we'll see. I think the Grizzlies will kind of get it together when Ja's out there more consistently. I think the Timberwolves will get their chemistry together with, like, Julius Randle. But there's, like, so – this is, like, the difficulty that we had with their preview and the predictions then, is that these Eastern Conference – I mean, the Western Conference is, like, 11 to 12 teams deep that have so much talent that you're, like, how are they not going to be in, like, at least a play-in or at least a position to make the playoffs?
The West is going to be a bloodbath until the very end. Just injuries is going to determine a fair amount of this stuff. And you can never predict injuries, but it's going to, injuries is going to determine, honestly, I don't say a lot in the West, but whoever can survive injuries and still pull their teams together is probably who's going to come out of the West throughout the entire season. Then obviously once the playoffs occur, then it's a lot of matchups and still injuries, but yeah, it's going to be a war of attrition in the West because there are just so many good teams. Again, the Mavericks are 7-7. They're right at 500. They're an 11th seed right now. They'd be fifth in the East.
They would be fifth. Yes. That's crazy. That's insane. They're out of a play-in in the West, but they would be almost close to home court advantage in the East. And that's why I was gonna say something about the Dallas Mavericks, but I was like, I can't really kind of say where they're at. They like kind of been very inconsistent.
If I never have to see PJ Washington again, I would die happy. I'm tired of this man. It's not like I watch a ton of PJ Washington. PJ Washington, let me tell you what he was. Hold on. I'm gonna pull this up right fast. SB3. Coming into the game against the Oklahoma City Thunder on Sunday, PJ Washington averaging 8 points per game, 7 rebounds, 41% shooting from the entire field. 41% from the entire field.
To put this in perspective, I think that he had DNPs for like five of the last six before that game against the Oklahoma City Thunder.
41% from the entire field. 21% from three. 37% from the free throw line. From the free throw line, 37%. What does he do against OKC?
His high of the season before this game was 8 points and 11 rebounds.
What does he do against OKC? That's not true. He had 17 points against Minnesota earlier in the season.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That was in, early October. I'm seeing it now.
What does he do in this game? 27 points, 17 rebounds, 53% from the field, 75% from three, 10 out of 10 from the free throw line. He was shooting 37% from the free throw line. He went 10 of 10. I hate this guy. I hate him. I don't understand it. I don't think their strategy is wrong. Like, the strategy is like, hey, if PJ Washington beats you, okay. And then PJ Washington keeps beating us. PJ fucking Washington.
I understand your pain.
It's annoying. Just annoying.
Oh, man. I know that loss had to bother you so much by...
Not really, response. Because like I didn't watch it. I tuned out in the second quarter. I was like, no, this isn't going well. It's just... It's an annoying game. Dallas is an annoying team. Their size, especially when we don't have Chet or Hartenstein, it's like we couldn't beat them in the playoffs with Chet. So like Dallas is just kind of annoying. They're not fun to watch. And even if like my team's playing them, the game wasn't all that like entertaining. A lot of whistles. OKC doesn't get a good whistle. Like they're the team that drives the most. And the free throw disparity in their games is absurd. They've only won the free throw battle in two games all season. And they drive the most out of every team in the league. So it gets frustrating to watch that kind of stuff. And again, Dallas just annoying team. I can only watch PJ Washington kill my team so many times before I'm like, yep, that's enough of this game. So I gave up on it in the second quarter. I was like, it ain't worth it to watch this game. So I don't take regular season losses quite as hard because it's a long season. Like the Chet injury is more bumming to me than like any type of loss. Like I didn't care that we lost to the Warriors. I cared that Chet broke his hip in that game. I don't care that we lost to Washington. It's like, all right, fine. You're going to lose games. Hopefully you just come back and you win tonight against San Antonio. I don't think San Antonio is going to have Wimby. So if that's the case, like you really should just easily handle San Antonio. I just want Hartenstein to be on the floor because I want to see what the team looks like with Hartenstein and how they play with him. Chet's not going to be back until February. So I'm not, it's like, that's whatever. So yeah, losses, regular season losses are honestly whatever. Just PJ Washington just irks me because it's like, how is this dude? Every single Thunder game, he can't do anything else against anybody in the league. But against OKC, for some reason, he's fucking LeBron James out here. It's annoying. That's what irks me more than like, we lost, whatever. We could have won and I'd still be irked at PJ Washington.
We're going off yeah. The way he did. And
yeah, and we could have legitimately won the game and I'd be like, PJ Washington still, like, can we not with this dude? I'd still be mad about it. It's a long season. You can't get mad at these losses in the regular season. It's such a long season.
PJ Washington didn't have Luka Doncic on the court, but he played like Luka Doncic.
And that's the thing. Luka's clearly holding him back. They should trade Luka, just build the team around PJ Washington. He's clearly
from that.
Clearly the best player on the team.
Yeah, you give him the ball, he's going to go off. 13 shots. But yes, good stuff by the Mavericks with that win. But yeah, they've just been too inconsistent to start the season, but I think they'll get it together. So yeah, there's so many teams at this bottom half, like the team that kind of has just dropped out of the radar as far as even like a play-in. I don't know with how the Western Conference go, you can't dig your hole deeper, and it seems like the New Orleans Pelicans keep doing that.
Yeah, injuries are kind of hurting them way too much, and like you can't do anything about that, but they're at where they're at. And yeah, with the West, it's a lot tougher to dig yourself out of a hole. The East, it's like, yeah, you could probably get out of there. The West though, and once you're 2-3 games behind, it's tough to make up that ground, because as long as these teams are competitive, you know, they're going to keep trying and playing competitive basketball all the way, at least until trade deadline, all-star break, and then maybe things will shake out. But every team probably feels like, hey, we got a shot if we make the play, and hey, we got a shot if we make the playoffs. So they're going to keep going for it.
Yeah. I totally agree with there. And you gotta get your guys on the court, but you can't control how these injuries go. But it seems like the Pelicans are always dealing with injuries ever since Zion got here. It seems like a 5-year journey of them having to deal with his injuries or other people's injuries that have kept them kind of below their usual expectations. But yeah, other than that, it's kind of the people that we expected to be in the bottom half of the Western Conference that are in the bottom half of the Western Conference.
I gotta apologize to the Portland Trail Blazers after having them rightfully in the bottom three last week and saying how awful they were. Rightfully, they had a terrible week. They sucked. Yeah. Their own coach ripped them. They've won 3 straight, 2 of them against Minnesota. Those were 2 pretty big victories considering where Minnesota was last year and where everybody thought Minnesota was going to end up this year. 2 dominant victories over Minnesota. Like, those games weren't as competitive as they should have been, especially the first game. Minnesota looked better in the second game, but they still lost. And then Atlanta, whatever, you beat Atlanta. That's not great, but they still beat Atlanta. You know, they got OKC coming up tomorrow night. It's a back-to-back for OKC. OKC should win this game, but apologies to Portland, or you're welcome. Because I lit a fire under you by putting you in the bottom three. I'll take credit for it.
Yeah, you got to take credit for it.
All right, you want to do top three, bottom three of the week?
Yeah, I'll let you start off. Bottom three.
It might all be in the East, honestly.
We're just picking on the East on this episode.
The East sucks. It sucks. All right, we're going to go Brooklyn Nets at the bottom there. They're not the worst team in the East, but they've lost 3 straight. And if you lose 3 straight and you're playing mostly Eastern Conference teams, that's not great. They've lost to good teams. I will give them that, like Celtics and then 2 against the Knicks. One of the Knicks games was very competitive. So they've actually lost to like the better teams in the East, but they've still lost 3 straight. They're Ben Simmons. Okay, here's why they're really at this bottom three spot here. I don't know what you do with Ben Simmons. at this point. I just have no idea what you do with him. He gets paid too much money. He's not very tradable, but he's not playable either. Like, he, it's very sad because I was kind of a believer in Ben Simmons. I thought like the stuff he could do would be very useful in basketball, like good passer. I thought he could get to the rim. He used to be able to get to the rim a lot more and finish well around the rim. Like, he could never shoot. That was never going to come around. But fine. Giannis isn't a good shooter. Giannis has developed a halfway decent mid-range game to make up for that. But Giannis gets to the rim at will, uses his size, uses his length, uses his physicality. And Ben Simmons is a better passer than Giannis. And Ben Simmons used to be very good on defense. Injuries have completely, it's derailed his career. And I also just think it's like a confidence thing as well. There's so many plays where it's like a fast break, and instead of attacking the rim and like maybe getting a foul out of it, maybe getting to the line out of it, he just passes it into a worse shot. He's not like, he honestly looks unplayable. And sometimes, like, he'll still give you like big assist numbers, but otherwise he's a detriment out there. And it's kind of sad to watch because I do like Ben Simmons. The Nets aren't good. They're okay. They're okay. But they got a Ben Simmons issue.
Yeah. And Ben Simmons has been an issue on whatever team he's been on for the duration of his career, seems like.
He was good
for a while. Yeah. But injuries just caught up to him.
Yeah, in his younger days, he was good. Those Sixers teams were good.
They were. Can I do ties? Ties for third?
I mean, if you want to be a coward, sure.
Cannot be a coward. I have sting on my chest. Coming in,
that dude stood in the rafters for a year. What are you talking about?
Hey, he didn't do shit
for an entire year, but watch. That was honestly very cowardly. I love Sting. But let's be honest. He was kind of pretty cowardly.
How can you spell
crow without coward.
How dare you? You're supposed to be the big Sting fan. And look what you do.
Can you spell crow without you? Right. I was actually correct. You can't spell crow. Okay. Or you can't spell coward without crow. One of the two.
You know, those are the letters in
common. Yeah, it works, right? Yeah. All right.
Oh, man. But, all right, coming in at number three, I'm going to give it a three-way tie.
Three-way tie?
Hey, you gave me an inch. I'll take a mile.
Three-way tie. Jesus.
Three-way tie for number three with the Boston Celtics, the Oklahoma City Thunder, and my Los Angeles Lakers. Yes, I had to make it a three-way tie to get my Lakers in there. But all three of these teams have had, you know, really good seasons so far for all different types of reasons. Of course, the Boston Celtics are the reigning NBA champions, so I had to keep them in the top three or top five for me this week. But they do have a loss to a very close loss to the Atlanta Hawks this week, so I couldn't get them any higher than the three spot, but I had to mention them here. And then you got the Oklahoma City Thunder, which is my favorite to win the NBA championship, still riding high at the top seed in the Western Conference, still playing good basketball, but like we talked about earlier, they're coming off a loss to the Dallas Mavericks, who didn't have Luka Doncic, their best player, but still got the win over the number one seed in the Western Conference. So I couldn't get them any higher than three, so I had to keep them here. And by my Los Angeles Lakers, who are going with the momentum, five-game winning streak, LeBron James with four straight triple doubles, oldest player to ever do that. I think he was the youngest player to get consecutive triple doubles because that's just what he does. the youngest to do it, the oldest to do it, LeBron James, and of course Anthony Davis, one of the top scorers in the league, running the offense, looking like the top five MVP candidate that one very, very intelligent, smart analyst told y'all he would be a couple of years ago. He is that right now. So had to put my Los Angeles Lakers somewhere in the top.
Cowardly.
No.
To do three teams.
Nope. You tried to censor me by trying to tell me to do top threes this year.
Hey,
if I had top fives, I wouldn't have even asked. I would just put these teams in there.
We gotta do hottest takes though. Hottest takes has been a big hit, so
it has.
Next up, the Washington Wizards. They've lost 9 straight. They suck. They're just awful. They don't even have like hope either. I guess Cole Bally, like he's good. I do like him. Jordan Poole's just out here doing shit. Bless him. Kyle Kuzma. I don't know if Kyle Kuzma is going to be traded. This isn't quite my hottest take, but it feels like a kind of a hot take. Last year I said OG Anunoby would swing the Eastern Conference. And he's playing great for the Knicks, and then he got hurt, and you know, they maybe didn't realize their full potential last playoff run. Kyle Kuzma feels like a guy that might swing a team in the playoffs if he gets traded. I don't know if he's going to get traded. Maybe that contract, he's not tradable. But if he does, he feels like a guy who might be able to put a team to that next level. We'll see.
I don't think that's a bad take at all. Don't think that's a bad
take. That's not my hottest take. That's just a take.
Number two this week, going with the Golden State Warriors, who are looking good so far this season. I won't say great because they lost to the Los Angeles Clippers, and we do not accept any losses to the Los Angeles Clippers ever on this show. But they did get wins over the Dallas Mavericks and Memphis Grizzlies over the last week, the week before getting that win over the Oklahoma City Thunder. So they have quality wins, 10-3, standing at the second seed in the Western Conference, picking up in the defense, Draymond Green leading the way over there. You got Steph Curry, who's back, who's giving the ball up a little bit more and kind of becoming a facilitator for some games and still picking up wins kind of with a team effort. So I think that they have really come together as a team that is going to be at least in the playoff mix for the rest of the season, unlike what a lot of us thought prior to the season going in based on what they did last season. It seems like the main core of Team USA has played really well in the beginning part of this season between what the Golden State Warriors have done and the Los Angeles Lakers.
Bottom, the Philadelphia 76ers. Even though the Wizards are a worse team with a longer losing streak, the Sixers have better talent and they're getting healthier and they're still losing. So that's why they are below the Washington Wizards. They get the same record at the end of the day. It's not like the Sixers have a better record than the Wizards. They've lost 4 straight. Again, Embiid played last night. Paul George played last night. So they've got some of their guys there. They're still losing these games. They're not looking good either. Embiid doesn't look healthy, which again, I don't know what a healthy Joel Embiid is going to look like at this point. I just don't know if that guy exists anymore. Paul George hasn't played well, and it's kind of an underrated story of the season, sort of how bad Paul George has actually been. Like, we're just not talking about it. It's almost ignored. 39% from the field, 28% from 3, and 16 points per game. That's the lowest since We'll throw out his injury season. That doesn't count.
Yeah.
It's the lowest since his second season in the league. Paul George has not been good. He's not been, like, you would think if you have Paul George, you would hope, not think, you would hope, all right, Paul George might be good enough to beat some of these teams in the East. And he hasn't been. Like, I can't give them an injury excuse when Orlando's missing Bancaro and they're losing that game. When Miami hasn't looked like a great team. Miami was actually healthy last night. They had their top guys playing. Yeah. The Clippers haven't had Kawhi in forever. They're losing these games. Memphis hasn't been that great. They might have Ja in that game. So let me actually check. Yeah, Memphis had Ja in that game. That was an injured Sixers team. Regardless, Paul George is not. He just hasn't been good enough. Like, they went to the wire with Charlotte. That's one that really sticks out. They beat Charlotte. Good on them. But they went to the wire with Charlotte, and they're just losing all of the every other game. Paul George is somebody to watch. Of, is this the new form of Paul George? Is this just who he is at this point, or is just this just a tough start because of a new team and trying to get integrated and everything? But it hasn't been good. We don't talk about what we've seen so far. So far, I just read you the numbers.
Those are not good numbers.
It's been pretty bad.
But number one this week, no surprise for me, top five, is the Cleveland Cavaliers. 15-0, just having a remarkable season so far. They have six guys in double figures for them, and these guys are putting up some great numbers. You got Donovan Mitchell, who's averaging 25 points per game, 4 rebounds, 4 assists on 42% from three. You got Darius Garland, like we talked about prior. He's averaging 21 points, 7 assists. He's averaging, I think, 53% from the field, 45% from three. He's just shooting the ball out of his mind so far. You got Evan Mobley, who's averaging 18 points and 9 rebounds, really took that leap in, what is this, his second or third season? Is this his third season? I think it's third
Mobley?
Season. Yeah.
I feel like this is like Mobley's fourth season.
It's Mobley's fourth season? I think it's his third season. It so I'm going to say third. Okay. Third in his third season. And then you got Jared Allen, the often underrated by me, Jared Allen, averaging 14.5 points, 11 rebounds. He's just been a dominant force, looking like a DPOY candidate so far. So you say number one? Number one?
Well, not number one. I'm raising my hand to be called upon.
Jeremy, for the class?
I was correct. Evan Mobley's fourth season.
Okay, there you go. You proud of yourself?
I mean, I know Cleveland pretty well.
You said it earlier. You said I've been watching them. I watched them second most. So I can't deny you. I whenever I'm talking about Cleveland basketball, whenever I'm talking about Cavalier basketball, I'm gonna succumb to you and what you say. But yeah, like I said, I think the Cleveland Cavaliers have proven themselves to be the best team in all of the NBA so far. A great run, and really their biggest test coming up tonight against Boston. So we'll see if they keep their number one spot even after a loss or win against the Boston Celtics.
I'm looking forward to this Celtics game tonight. It's a big game. A big game. 7 o'clock. Watch that over NXT.
I'm with you.
All right, let me pull up the hottest takes sheet here. Prepare your hottest take, SP3. All right, we're at November. Oh, I can't type at all. November 19th. All right, do you have yours or do you need me to go first?
You ready with yours?
I think so. I think I have mine.
All right, go ahead.
Trae Young gets traded to the Portland Trailblazers.
Wow, you said where and everything. Okay. Portland yep. Trailblazers?
Yep.
Gotta hand it to you.
That's my hottest take. I think he gets traded this year. I know everybody's looking. Oh, the Lakers out west. Oh, can the Suns trade Beal for him? Because they need a point guard. Does another team step up? What about Minnesota? Do they have some assets? Because Mike Conley is looking kind of on his last legs. The Clippers. Those are teams that I've sort of just heard. Portland Trailblazers. They got some young players. They got pieces. They got a contract in DeAndre Ayton. That is movable. Every contract's movable, but that makes money work. Portland Trailblazers making a splash, trading for Trae Young. That's my hottest take.
Trey's gonna be okay with that? Is this
Trae? I mean, probably not, but he's not winning in Atlanta.
Can't say you're wrong. All right. I will say, wait, let me just get my backup here. I had to check something real quick before I say this, but okay. So yes, I will say it here now. My hottest take, Julius Randle will be an all-star this year.
Okay.
For the Minnesota Timberwolves, I think that he's been playing great so far. You know, all of his, pretty much a lot of his numbers outside of his rebounding is up this season. He's got 51% from the field, 22 points per game, 6.5 rebounds, 4.5 assists. He's spreading the ball around. They're running a lot of their offense through him, kind of following along. Like I said, everyone when you talk about the Boston Celtics, when you talk about the Milwaukee Bucks, when you talk about the Los Angeles Lakers right now, even Golden State Warriors with Draymond Green, they run that high screen and roll where you're running the offense, not through the traditional point guard, but through the big man, whoever the power forward or center is, and they're getting results with it. Where I think they're on a good path right now. They're 8-6, but I think they're going to be much improved as the season goes on, and him and Anthony Edwards will get more chemistry together. So I think Julius Randle, all-star this year.
All right, here's where your Julius Randle all-star argument might die. It's based on position, right? I feel like they change the all-star rules every single year. I can't keep track, because they always want to do something different. But you're taking – it's based on position. Yeah. He's technically a forward, right?
Yes. No.
So you got two forwards, five forwards total, two forwards starting, three off the bench. I believe that's how it works.
Yeah.
Okay. LeBron, Durant – Davis is counted as a center. He's counted as
okay.
A center.
Oh, okay. Perfect. Yeah.
Okay. LeBron, Durant. Davis might end up being listed as a forward.
Oh, I hope not. This would ruin it. This would ruin it all for me.
Because Wimby might be listed as one of the centers. See, that's Wimby the thing.
Can come off the bench for AD.
Yeah, I guess so. Okay. LeBron, Durant, J-Dub's going to be higher than Julius Randle on a potential all-star team. J-Dub's listed as a forward. He's listed as a center right now.
I don't know. Like,
oh, J-Dub's going to have the numbers, especially with
Chet. I know he's going to have the numbers, but I don't know.
Nah. He's not going to be a starter. Let's be honest about that. Julius Randle's not starting. Okay, so it's going to come down to what fan vote and, I guess, coach pick. Minnesota don't vote that heavy. He ain't got the New York boost. Like, oh, yeah,
he getting a New York and L.A. boost. We look after our own.
I don't know.
Their numbers are pretty similar right now.
Yeah, and one guy's doing a lot more winning.
We don't know where it's going to be by All-Star. We don't know. We don't even know it's going to be by December.
I think OKC will have a better record than Minnesota come December.
Okay. But you already have an all-star.
We can have two.
Yeah, you can have two.
Yeah, Minnesota's going to have one. Anthony Edwards is making the all-star team, so.
Yeah, we know that. Minnesota could be like a three seed, and they can get two all-stars. And Julius Randle would be the second.
Okay, OKC would need, if they're a one seed, they're going to need two all-stars.
Chet's going to come back, and he's going to
I would love if Chet was back by the all-star break. He's not going to be back by the all-star break, and they wouldn't vote him into the all-star game anyway.
Lou Dort for his defense.
I mean, Lou Dort's playing much better than people want to give him credit for. But yeah. Okay, so here's where things could also get tricky. Houston, if they're playing well, they probably need an all-star. Who are they going to get? Jalen Green? Are they going to get Sengun as the center? Sengun. Okay, but now you're looking at Davis is definitely going to be listed as a forward. Because there's no Wimby and Sengun are 100%.
And we're forgetting about Jokic.
Yeah. Yeah. So Davis is probably going to have to be listed as a forward. Because, yeah, Jokic is definitely going to be a center. They want Wimby in this game. I mean, he's probably going to be voted in regardless. But they want Wimby in this game. I don't. It's going to be tough. This is why it's a hottest take, though, right? This is why it's a hottest take. It's going to be tough for Randle to get in there as a forward. There's some good forward talent or talent that you can list as a forward because you need center spots reserved for Jokic and Wimby. So it's going to be tough for Randle. But it's a good take. It's a good hot take.
That's why it's the hottest take.
I respect it. All right, everybody. We're going to get out of here. Our pal Cher Delaware is catching up on other things. Honestly, this episode of the challenge this week was just kind of boring. Not a whole lot happened. So we'll review two episodes. I'm glad we're all on the same page as that. Cause like I watched it. And after I finished watching it, I didn't watch it until like Sunday. After I finished watching it, I was like, what are we going to talk about from this episode? Like what actually happened in this episode? So next week we'll have two episodes to talk about.
All right, y'all.
SP3, let everybody know where they can find you at.
Follow me on the Twitter machine at TrueHillSP3. I will be live with Romeo in about an hour on the True Hill Heat YouTube channel for Rated Raw Review, reviewing last night's Monday Night Raw. So join us for that. And yeah, check out all my great content over there, as well as SI.com, where I do features and lists.
There you go. We appreciate you, SP3. We'll be back next week talking NBA, talking the challenge. Bye, everybody.
Shop the best Black Friday weekend deals up to 70% off only at Tanger Outlets. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Coach, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and hundreds more. Find something for everyone on your list during our biggest sale of the year. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Stores open at 6 a.m. Black Friday. Get your savings at Tanger.com.
If you're a maintenance supervisor for a commercial property, you've had to deal with everything from leaky faucets to flickering light bulbs. But nothing's worse than that ancient boiler that's lived in the building since the day it was built. 50 years ago, it's enough to make anyone lose their cool. That's where Grainger comes in. With industrial-grade products and dependable fast delivery, Grainger can help with any challenge, from worn-out components to everyday necessities. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.